So we talked about repentance contains forgiveness Sunday, right? I hope you caught that in the change of mind, in taking another thought, going a different way, God builds the forgiveness into it because your thought has changed. He's built the forgiveness into it. So it's a very good thing to be able to repent, you know. So, and we've been talking about forgiveness for a while now. It's a very important thing to be able to do. And sometimes it's hard for people to forgive one another. Sometimes it's hard for them to forgive themselves. But no matter how hard it is, it must be done. Because God said, if you don't forgive, he's not going to forgive. That's one of those things that God said he's not going to do. He said he's not going to do it. So he knows the importance of forgiving, because unforgiveness holds you up. You know, you can't move forward in God. And that's the thing that's important. So I'm going to ask you something tonight. What's the difference? And I want you to pipe up. You tell me what you think. What's the difference between when God gives you a word and when man gives you a word? Or when God gives you word and you think about the word of God, and man is how he thinks about God and what his thought is toward God? What's the difference between man's and God's? That's number one. It's not coming from heaven. What's another thing? Right, that's true. The one from heaven hasn't been defiled. Here's the other thing, too. You think about, you know, what man thinks about and what God thinks about, whatever, you know. What God is doing, he's comparing one thing with another. Let me give you an example. Wisdom of heaven, wisdom of man. Does that make sense? Understanding from heaven, understanding of man. Interpretation from heaven, interpretation from man. You see how this works? So it's an important thing to understand there is a difference, and it's a great difference. But according to the world today, the way religion is set up, they don't think there's much of a difference. You preach the word of God, say, yeah, I preach the word of God too. Isn't that true? Okay, so I always go back to the Pharisees. Jesus preached the word of God. Did they preach the word of God too? They did. They preached the word of God. What did Jesus call them? Didn't he call them vipers? So why would he call them that? They're preaching the same thing. That's because they're not preaching the same thing. They may even use same words, but it's not the same thing. So what makes it different? What makes it different? Doesn't have the Spirit of God? It's mingled. It's mingled with untruth. Something else. What would you think? What makes it so different between the Word of God and the Word of man? Say louder, Terry. Okay, that's for sure. Right.
Could you say it's good and evil? They weren't good and evil.
Yes.
So they weren't come. They were in act.
Could they discern the difference?
No.
No, they couldn't. Go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say, one is the spirit of man, and the other one is the spirit of God. So
that's a big thing. So Seth said, one's the spirit of man, one's the spirit of God. That is a big thing, you know. Terry talked about no understanding, doesn't understand it the way God says it. They understand it the way man says it, and they try to apply that to God. That's the bad thing about it. Go ahead, Claudette.
No substance or evidence.
No substance or evidence is what Claudette said. Jacob talked about good and evil. They can't discern between the two. You think it'd be easy to say, oh, this is good and that's evil. Not when you don't know God. You may call evil good and good evil. And that it says that may happen, right? Patty?
The other thing, Pastor Kenny, I think that man wants to exalt themselves with the word of God and take away from it.
Right.
And appear like they are God. You know, the Pharisees did. So it's a big difference that when they want men to be worshipped by man, and God is not seeking for that. He's seeking for men to look his word and to apply it into their life.
So do you think they try to, in a way, be God?
Yes.
Yeah. What's driving them to do that?
Their will. Their ego.
Will and ego, that's sure. But what? There's a spirit that's working here. What do we call that?
Yes.
What did you say, Ernest?
The spirit of man.
It is a spirit of man. It's the man of sin, isn't it?
Yep.
So we have to stop and think there's a spirit that's working that. We have to always come back. There are spirits working, right? We have to do that. Somebody else had their hand up back there.
So Seth said the word of God brings peace.
Yes. Word of God will bring peace. The word of man, you wonder, they're telling you things. They may even be laying hands on you and praying for you, and you still don't get the peace. Nothing changes. What's happening? There's some. Do you know that the Pharisees did pray for people, but not like Jesus and them did? You know, Jesus told him one time, he said, you look at these people and you judge them and you won't even lift your finger to help them. Yet they said they're praying for people. I still think about that thing where the publican and the Pharisee are in the temple praying. And he's talking about, I fast, you know, I do this. I give up my tithes twice a week and I do this. He's just going on about what he's doing. But what I like is the beginning of that whole parable. He prayed thus with himself. Go back and read it. It actually says that. He prayed thus with himself. Wait a minute. So I thought he was supposed to be there to pray to God. God's not receiving that. So he's praying thus with himself. That's what he's saying. He has his own way of doing it, and he's judging. And he says, I thank God I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And he's pointing out all the things he's doing and that I'm not like this publican over here. Wait, what does God say about comparison and judging? And it's not wise at all. And to judge somebody by the flesh, which is what he did. But the publican did something very important, didn't he? Beat on his chest. You know what? That is a sign of contrition. My very heart feels this. You know, it's a sign of contrition toward God. Yay, Lord, yay, Lord, yay, Lord. Have mercy on me, a sinner. He admitted what he was. And Jesus says, which one of those prayers was received in heaven? Which one? That one, where he humbled himself. That one was received, you know. I was thinking about what Dan preached about. You know, he talked about the word of faith. Remember when he did that a couple of weeks ago? Talking about the word of faith. I want to read a couple of things. I started looking at some stuff here. And so it's kind of funny. Scripture speaks about the word of God, word of faith, word of the Lord, word of prophecy, word of the Lord again in a different way, of the Lord, word of life, word of Christ, word of truth, word of prophecy. Look at what this word does. It's not just of faith. Look at all those things it says that it's of Christ, it's of the Lord. Why? We say, well, that's all the same thing. Well, why make it separate then? Why say it that way? Word of, word of, word of. All of those things are all aspects of Christ. Every one of them are. The prophecy, the word. Now, when you start speaking about men speaking about the things of God, it is the word of man. It is the word of the natural. It's the word of this earth. It's the word of the world. What they think they know about God. And people say, well, you don't have to be part of organized religion to have religion. That's true. You don't have to be under some organized thing to know, you know, oh, yeah, I was raised this or raised that or whatever. Nah, you can never have had any of that. And what you think about God, that's your religion. That's how you think about him. That's how you determine in yourself what you think God is to you. That's what the whole scoop is. You know, it's kind of a funny thing. But we have to stop and think about what the difference is. And I started thinking about this word of truth at all aspects of Christ, his word. And but we have to understand, thought. I've said this many times, thoughts and words are spirit, are they not? So when a man takes a thought and a word, is it a spirit also? Yes, it is. It's the spirit of man. And then when his thoughts and words are spirit coming from God, that's from God, isn't it? That's what separates the two. So what God tells us is to beware of the flesh. To be carnally minded is death. So when the flesh thinks, when man thinks, it's really in a form of death because he does not understand God, doesn't know God, and whatever God says he's doing, it's foolishness to him. Doesn't it say that? It says it's foolishness to him. He said, that's foolish what you guys are speaking. Well, do you realize people are going to say those things about you too? But I say people, but what if I told you a man inside of you will say that same thing? It'll say, this is foolish what you're doing. You don't need to keep doing this, whatever. There's always the opposition. What do we call that? Anti-Christ. It's always, if there's an anointing, there's an anti-anointing. There's something that doesn't want you to listen to the anointing of Christ. So it's a thought that rises up. It's a man. Remember when it talks about men crept in unawares? It's talking about thoughts creeping into your world unawares. And we say men. So we keep it, the devil, if he can, he'll keep us looking outward. Oh, it's that guy over here, or is this somebody? You see what I mean? He'll keep us looking outward. And all the time, the battle is inward. But he's going to try to make you, and then that way you get stuff against people. I don't like what he did. I don't like what he did. I judge this. I judge that. That's what we start doing. We judge from the outward appearance, don't we? Which is wrong. So the whole thing is this. If he can get you to keep looking that way, that's what you'll still think, oh, I'm doing the will of God. God's showing me this and showing me that. Is he really? Or is that you judging by the flesh? You see how this works? Very important thing. So then we have to come back to, what is the word then? What is the word of truth? What is the word of faith? What is the word of prophecy? What is the word of all these things that we're talking about? All different words. It is God himself. Is it not Jesus? And so when it talks about repent, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if man is dealing and thinks he understands, is he doing it by the Holy Ghost, or is he doing it by his flesh? You see how this works? So it says, repentance and remission of sins shall be preached among all nations in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, right? That's where it's going to happen. I think it's Luke 24:47. So that's how it's going to work. Each time you notice it's saying repentance and remission, repentance and remission. Man is saying, now how many times have you heard this? Jesus, I want you to come into my heart so I can be saved and whatever. What if I told you he's always been there? Yeah. It was just hidden in darkness in you. He doesn't have to leave a place. There's a scripture that actually says that Christ has to leave heaven and come down, or come from beneath, from hell, and come up, ascend up. He's here already. He's already in you. It's just that he's hidden. So then we have to get this darkness, this hidden thing, out in the open, don't we? And understand the part that Christ has in us. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So it's given us an understanding that in the beginning of everything, there was a Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's telling us that Word was God from the beginning. Now I'm going to say something to you. He spoke you into existence by that very Word. He spoke a Word and put himself in you. Lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Oh, we've all sinned and come short of the glory to God, have we? Yeah. Did we all in Adam die? That did not negate the light he put in you. It did not negate the anointing he put in you. He did not negate the Christ that was in you. It did not negate the anointing he said, where no man needs to teach you. He did that, but we have to come to the understanding of that. There has to be a light shined on that for us to see that it's in us. He says, men love darkness rather than light, right? So that's where we were. We walked around in darkness. Isn't that what we did? So we never could see it. But when the light comes, isn't that something different? So we have to understand that this Word of God is Christ. It is God. It is Jesus, this Word of God. I want you to turn to something with me. I want you to look at this. I think it's 19:11 of Revelation. Ooh, I love how this begins. 19 is one of my favorites. And I saw heaven opened. Wait a minute. Who's seeing this? Who's seeing it? John, the revelator, right? In the beginning, did it not say this is the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave to his angel who gave this to John? Very first couple of verses in this. So the angel is opening. All of this is happening. This is being opened up to John, the apostle. He said, and I saw heaven open. Can you imagine being someplace and looking and seeing heaven open in you, he actually saw heaven open. So that means it wasn't closed and he could see it. He could see what was coming, okay? I'd love to be sitting in a place and just see heaven open, just stand. I know what it would do. It would have me rooted in my place. I wouldn't want to change it. I want to see what that is, you know? So heaven was open, and behold, a white horse. Wait, wait, wait. You see a horse as heaven is open. A white horse. He said, wow. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful. Now, how did he know that he was called that? So is this a vision? Is this God talking to him? Is this God telling him, the one you see sitting on this white horse is faithful? And true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So now he's aware there's going to be a judgment and there's going to be more war. And it's being done by something righteous. It's not unrighteous judgment of the flesh like men do. This is the righteousness of God in application. Isn't that what's happening? So this is very cool. And then he describes him somewhat. And what he says, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Ooh, can you see that? Imagine seeing the face of God. You see his eyes like a flame of fire. I'm like a little kid. I'm imagining this stuff. The power of it is coming out. Remember he says, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. This is the fire of the Spirit coming out of his eyes. This is amazing. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, this is the cool thing. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Oh, he had been through something, hadn't he? He had experienced something, but not anymore for that blood to be shed anymore. He did his job, ascended up on high, but the vesture, what he had covering him, was from that blood, wasn't it? And he's talking about the sacrifice he made, but not to be sacrificed again. He already did what he came to do. It's very powerful. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is, here's what I like, he's called the Word of God. Wait a minute. Who is this? Is Jesus the Word of God? He's the Word of God. So when man speaks a word, is he speaking like Jesus speaks, or is he Jesus? No. He has to come to know Jesus and know that he's the Word of God. So this name that was given, he says, and his name is called the Word of God. So is Jesus the Word?
Yes.
We speak words just like I'm speaking right now. Is that Jesus?
Yes.
Every time God opens his mouth, Jesus pops out. Every word he speaks, everything he does, it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And it's being brought to us in the form of Jesus Christ, who took on the nature of man, overcame it, ascended back on high after death, and now intimately knows what we have to go through. So he's associated with it, isn't he? And so now we can say, you understand. You understand, Lord. But now I understand. You are the Word. You're the Word incarnate. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you bodily. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, everything is in you. Whew. He's the Word of God, isn't he? He's the Word of God. So when man speaks, we have a problem, don't we? Let me take you to something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. This has not entered into the heart of man. It hasn't even entered into it. Whew. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Until they get to know him, it hasn't entered in. Does that make sense? It has not. But do they speak as though it was? Do they speak as though it's entered in? They will. Is that a deception? It is a deception, isn't it? Is it speaking without having the wisdom and understanding of God? Is it speaking from the flesh of man? Is it speaking from the carnal mind? See, this has not even entered into him until he gets to know God. So look at how it puts this. Have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I like that. So he's revealed unto us by the Holy Ghost that's in us, right? By the anointing in us. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now here's what I want. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's all he can know. That's all he can know. All he can know is what about that spirit of man that's in him, what that man speaks, what it does, what it says things are. That's all he knows, right? He hasn't heard anything from God yet, and he doesn't love God yet because he doesn't know God, okay? So here's the next thing it says. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So him walking around thinking, I know the Spirit of God. No, you don't. This scripture tells me you don't. You don't know the things of the Spirit. That man cannot know the things of the Spirit until there's an operation performed. Okay? Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So it says that spirit of man is also the spirit of the world. And then it says that spirit of God is also the things that are of the spirit of God. And only God can discern those things. So he's telling you two separate things here. He's letting you know that that man spirit that we talk about here, it's of the world. It's of the world. It's not of God. It's not of heaven. It's of the world. So doesn't it say that about this world, that the world speaketh of its own? It does, huh? And what does it speak of? It always puts everything outward, doesn't it? Out here. Out here. Speaks of the world. Or it may speak of the thoughts that it has and tries to make them think, or make people think, or make others think it's of God. You can speak the words. I know a lot of people that can speak the words, a lot of them. I was thinking about that. I don't know if any of you ever heard this. Sometimes movies are good to get you into a thought of something. Have you ever heard of the movie called Night of the Hunter? Have you heard that title? You know what it's about? It's about an itinerant preacher. It's Robert Mitchum playing the part. And on his knuckles, he has written hate and whatever on his knuckles. But he's a preacher, and he's preaching the word of God. And he comes to where this family is, and they talk about having a treasure that's hidden. And so he ingratiates himself into this family, and he starts doing things, whatever, so he can get to that treasure. You know, gold and money and whatever is buried somewhere. And he's trying to get in here to enough in this family so he can get it. But he uses God to do it. He's constantly quoting a scripture, constantly trying to act like he has the benevolence of God in it. Robert Mitchum does a great job in doing that. He makes you hate him. I'm serious. He's a good actor. But it shows you that, and he shows how sly he is and how he ingratiates himself with the family. And they think he's a man of God. How often does that happen to somebody? How often? How often has it happened in your world? You heard words from somebody and you said, oh man, I'm gonna believe that. Well, was it proven? Was it manifested? You just believe in something you heard another man say? Or did the Spirit reveal it to you? See, here's the difference. This is the difference. I used to speak that way as a man. Did it for a long time. Didn't have nothing. Thought I did. Didn't have a thing. And then God came one day and opened everything up. And I said, oh, my God. The man I was talking to at the time, I said, you're going to have to get a preacher out in Yuma because I don't know anything. I thought I knew something, but I don't know anything. All the props were knocked out from under me. All that knowledge I thought I had didn't have anything. You're going to have to get somebody out here that knows what they're doing. And what I was told is, you're going to learn. You're going to be taught of God. And the first thing you're going to start learning is repentance from dead works. There's that word repent again. All the stuff that you put your effort into, all your knowledge into, all the works you tried to do through this flesh, that's dead works. You mean all that stuff I did? You mean when I started churches and when I did this and did that and preached to congregate? Yep, all dead works. That's amazing to find that out, Ernest. It is. You know, everything you did, you thought it was, you were working for God, man. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You thought you were, but no, you weren't. You didn't know. Didn't understand, didn't have wisdom, didn't have anything. But what has God done since then? So powerful to know the truth. Word of truth, word of Christ, word of the Lord, word of faith, word of prophecy. You see how it is? God used all of that, all the aspects of Christ to bring me to a place where I can step out of the way and allow God to speak like a conduit through me and not put flesh in the way. Leave that somewhere else. Let God do what he's going to do by the Spirit. This is very powerful, huh? So we know now that Jesus is that word of God. Every time we preach it, gospel being preached, whatever, it's the word of God. It's Jesus. It's the faith, hope, and charity that it talks about at the end of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Is Jesus our faith? Yes, he is. Is he the hope? Christ, who is our hope? Yeah, he's the hope. And is he the agape love? Yes. He's all of it. It's all in Christ. So we have to get Christ in order for this thing to work. So the words of man, words of God are very different. Very different. And there's no manifestation when it's the word of man. You get your manifestation of the Spirit when it's the word of God. People wonder, why haven't I gotten anything going in manifestation? Why doesn't this come to pass? Why doesn't that come to pass? Well, you don't have it yet. If you get the right mind, you can get into it, and then those things will happen. There will be a manifestation. But right now, what are you manifesting? You're just like he told those Pharisees, I see what you're manifesting. You make the outside of the cup look nice and clean. You make the outside of the grave look nice and clean. But inside is dead men's bones. So we can appear to be clean to people and not have the right thing, huh? That outward appearance. But what God cares about is the inward man. He cares about the spirit in that man. He cares about what you want to understand of him and his glory and his grace and not what you want to understand of the world. The world can teach you a lot of things. I won't say they can't. It can teach you a lot of things. It's just not of God. It's not of God. What we want is to be taught of God, and they all shall be taught of God. That's the thing that we want. Isn't that powerful? And so all of these different, all these aspects of Christ, I look at them and I think about it and about this spirit of man. Now, if you read down a little bit further, and we've said this before, but I want to reiterate it. It said, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. So it shows you there's going to be a teaching of man and of his wisdom. That's what we did when we went in religion. There's going to be a teaching of man and his wisdom. It's just not God's. That's the way he's telling you. It's not God's. And then he says, teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I love that. Holy Ghost is going to teach us. That's how it's going to work. The Spirit of God from heaven is going to teach us. It's not going to be man's teaching and his own wisdom. In fact, it says later on down here, listen to this. But the natural man, and that word natural means sensuous. The sensuous man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So he doesn't have the Spirit, does he? To him is foolishness. What are y'all talking about? I read scripture and this says this. I said, do you understand what you read? Well, yeah, I understand. The rich young ruler came forward and, you know, whatever, like that. Man, he was so rich, he had silver and gold and whatever. I said, what if I told you that's not what it was? Wait. What are you trying to tell me? I'm saying the riches he had were in his own knowledge and thought. Well, how do you know that? Doesn't that one verse say, he said, sell all you have and then have riches in treasure in heaven? God's letting you know he's talking spiritual, not down here. Treasure in heaven, huh? You got any treasure here in heaven? You may have gold and silver in your house, but do you have treasure in heaven? Oh, so God's speaking about a different place of where to put treasure, huh? Go back and read that parable. He said, then you can have treasure in heaven. Jesus is telling the young man. So he's letting them know, all this stuff you think you know, you said I knew that from my youth up. Uh-huh. I want you, you just sell it all and come follow me, and I'll teach you the real deal. I'm paraphrasing. I'll teach you what you really need to know. And then you can be a follower. You can be a disciple. And I can take you on this journey. Isn't that cool? That's what he wanted him to do. That's not how I understand it. That's right. That's not how you understand it. And that's why you're teaching people and leading them wrong. That's why you're doing that, because you don't understand. Do you understand there's such thing as a parable? What are you talking about, man? It's a parable. A parable is one thing standing for another. Remember the parable of the sower? Yeah. Okay, it's trying to teach you something. What is that seed? Oh, it's a dollar bill, man. You seed into ministries. No. Luke 8 and 11 says the seed is the word of God. What? It says that? Oh, yeah. Well, we've been told it's a seed so long for money. That's what I thought it was. I thought we were supposed to seed into the ministry. Well, that's not what God says it is. Go back and look up these things. It's important to know the difference. And people do that. And the things he just mentioned, they're simple, aren't they? We learn those things in a basic thing. But what is God continuing to do? Is he continuing to build us? I was talking to Tim tonight about that foundation. Ephesians 2:20, we're built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And then Paul tells us, he has a wise master builder. He says, you have to be careful how you build on this foundation. Be very careful how you build on it. Well, men are building buildings that are falling down. Wind comes along, rain comes along, flood, they just fall. They're rotted from the inside. You know why? They didn't build on the good foundation. They didn't allow it to be Jesus Christ. They didn't allow it to be the prophets and the apostles. They didn't allow it to be built on the true word of God and by the Spirit. So it's not going to stand. This is the key. So all I'm doing is trying to show you what's the difference between the word of God and the word of man. Well, there's a lot. There's a big difference. And what we're trying to understand is that we serve the word of God. We serve Jesus Christ, who is that word. And his name was the Word of God. That's a big mystery to people. Big mystery. You mean Jesus is the actual Word? Yes. He's the Word from the beginning. He's the Word in you. It's the Word that's preached in the gospel. It's the Word that guides us. It's the Word that brings the Spirit. It's the Word that brings prophecy. It's the Word that helps us in our need. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the anointing. Really? Yeah, really. That's what God is trying to show us here. The difference between the word of God and the word of man. So man can speak a lot of things. I've heard him speak it. I've heard people preach some fantastic messages, bring all this stuff into it. And I mean fantastic. And then I realize after they say a few things, they don't know God. They don't know God. I'm thinking about these great preachers. You see some of them are falling now, don't you? You see them fall? What did Rick say? He said, Christianity's in trouble, bro. He said, what's going to happen? You're going to see a lot of pastors fall. He said that 10 years ago, 12 years ago. He said, you're going to see a lot of changes. So is that coming to pass? Oh, yeah. Just because it doesn't happen to every single one, there's enough example for you to see that it's wrong. The preaching is wrong. So what we have to do is get it right. And how are we going to do that? Through the wisdom and understanding of God. Not a word of man, but the word of God. That's the difference. So people say, you're nitpicking. No, I'm not nitpicking. I'm telling you what God says. Either it's going to be by his word or it's not going to be by anything. You're not going to have anything. He said, there will be people coming up before me saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I preach in your name, heal in your name, do this in your name, do that in your name? And he's going to look at him and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew, he never even knew them. But I worked for you for 40 years. I didn't know you. I have no, Rick was telling me, he told a man one time, this man said he was sent to teach the elders in our organization. God sent me to teach you. I'm supposed to teach you. And Rick was in a car with him one day, and they were traveling, taking him to the airport or whatever they're going to do. And Rick turned to him and he said, I'm not going to say the guy's name. He said, you know what? He said, I talked to God about you. He said he doesn't know you. What? What? Do you know within a few weeks that man was in a mental institution? That shook his whole world. He said, yeah, I talked to him about you. And he said he does not know you. You think God has discernment? You think God can show us through discernment what's real and what's not real? And the only way you're going to ever get it is if you love God, and if you stick with God, God's going to help you with discernment. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. He will continue to show you what's real and what's not real. God will do that. What's the word of God? What's the word of man? He'll show it up so easy and so fast. So last thing I'm going to say. We're in a warfare, aren't we? So why is there a war? Think about it. Why is there a war? Why is there a war? Yeah. Is it, we're, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ, right? Well, why is there a war? What is the other one that's in Ephesians? We come against principalities and powers and high place, rulers of darkness, all that stuff. Why is there a war? Why are those things there? Yes. And it's letting you know there's a difference between the word of God and the word of man. Word of man comes from a devilish place. Does it not? That word sensuous, earthly, and devilish is what it says in James, doesn't it? So would do you think maybe it might be very subtle, very deceptive? Oh, yeah, very much so. And that's what that thing is doing. I told somebody to read not too long ago the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. And I don't know who it was I told him to do it, but you go back and read that. And you read about necromancers and people that flatter and those that are witches and sorcerers and all that stuff. And we said, ooh, that's like the person that rides the broom with the big hat. No, no, it's not. It's the ones that are disobedient, rebellious, and stubborn, according to the word. Isn't that what the bewitching is? Spirits of divination. Uh-huh. All of those things. And he said, well, that's in the Old Testament. What did Paul cast out of that young girl in that city? There are some things that go straight across. What did he tell that young man? He said, keep the commandments, didn't he? Was that Old Testament? Yes, it was. Honor thy mother and father. You know, do all that. He told him the whole little list of things, didn't he? And he said, I've done that from my youth up. Yeah, those things still come across here. Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans, he said the law was spiritual. The only reason that the law couldn't be kept is because of the flesh of men. So he ended one covenant, and Hebrews said he instituted another one, didn't he? Because the flesh couldn't do it. So what did God say? Okay, I'll write it on your heart now. I'm not going to put it on tables of stone. Now it's going to be by the Spirit. Now it's going to be walking and being led by the Spirit. And I was with you, now I shall be in you, and I'm going to guide you. Isn't that true? We have to believe that. If we don't believe that, we're lost. He's going to guide us. He's going to do this thing. It's by the Holy Ghost. It's by the anointing. It's by the Spirit of God. It's by his word, which he is. He is the word of God. So that's how he's going to guide us, huh? Prophecy, faith, word of Christ, word of God. His name is the word of God. Whew. Very good stuff, huh? So this is what I just wanted to show you, is that the word of God and the word of man is such a great difference. Such a huge, and you that, how blessed you are to know the difference. All of you sitting here right now, how blessed you are to know a difference. Because there's millions that don't. Billions that don't. They don't know. And here's this little group here. People say, well, it would seem to me if we have the truth that we would have tons of people here. And no, Scripture says just the opposite. Just the opposite. Way that leadeth to life is narrow, and every once in a while there's a traveler on it. Way that leadeth to destruction, very broad, and many there be that find it. So if you have the mindset of the world, and they say, oh yeah, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to have a lot more people in here. Even Moses had a hard time with the people that he had, right? What was it, 650,000? God whittled them down quite a bit, and then they became slaves in other nations and all kinds of stuff. He didn't have to, after a while, after all that was taken away and they were taken into other nations and stuff, now you have a very small nation. Very small. Think about it when you don't believe God. That's what happens. So what we're doing, we're showing you that God is the truth. He is the word of truth. He is the word of Christ. He is the word of love. He is the word that brings the obedience. He is the word that takes us into the heavenly places. That's the word that we serve. Is that cool? I just thought that we need to know the difference between the word of man and the word of God. And it's simple, but sometimes we have to bring these things up so you just think, see. So are we saying we're the only ones that have the truth? I don't know that. There may be somebody else in this world that's going the same way we are. I haven't met them yet. Have you? Well, maybe we may run into some. You never know. I remember one time, and with this, that there was a man that was out there preaching. He sent him out two by two and stuff. He said, Lord, we found a man out there preaching and doing the same things we were doing, and we forbade him. And Jesus looked at them and said, why? If he's not against us, he must be for us. Leave him alone. He's a believer. We get so pumped up with ourselves. You know, we're part of the elite group. You're part of the group where one second, if you're not doing the right thing, you can be out. You can be in fornication outside the body. Isn't that true? Let's stay in the body. Let's keep this thing. Don't be high-minded, but be of low degree. He that is exalted shall be abased. He that is what? Base shall be exalted. It'll take God to do that.